This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wal aqibatu lil muttaqeen. Wala udwana illa ala al-zalimeen. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله إله الأولين والآخرين وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله عليه أفضل الصلاة وتم التسليم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تعالى وخير الهدى هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. My respected brothers and sisters in Islam, it was a beautiful hadith that I came across today. And many a times I had come across it, but it was as if the first time I had read it. An authentic hadith in Bukhari and Muslim and Ahmed and Ibn Hibban. An authentic hadith. Once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he led the Dhuhr prayer. And after leading the Dhuhr prayer, he got up on the minbar. And then when he got up on the minbar, he wanted to give a khutbah. It was not Jum'ah. No, it was not Jum'ah. Walakin, however, he wanted to give a khutbah. So he gave a khutbah and he told the people to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he told the people about the signs of the Day of Judgment that had already come. And thereafter he told the people, today, O people, there is not a single thing that you will ask of me today except that I will tell you. You will not ask of me a single thing except that I will tell you. So ask of me. And the people started crying. People started crying. And the people started crying. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam repeated his question. Saluni, ask me, ask me. And so a man got up. A man like you and me. A man from the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got up. And he said, Ya Rasulullah, where will I be on the Day of Judgment? He said, Ya Rasulullah, where will I be on the Day of Judgment? So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, An-Nar! He said, in the fire. Fire! The man asked, where will I be, Ya Rasulullah? And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, in the fire. Subhanallah, a companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asking this question. Just like you and me, someone like you and me asking Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the question, where will I be, ya Rasulullah? And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the fire. Have you not heard of the ayah in the Quran? Have you not heard of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran? وَإِن مِنْكُمْ إِلَّا وَارِدُهَا. Verily, there are some of you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us. He says, some of you are heading for it. Heading for what? Heading for what? For Jannah? No.
heading for the fire. My brothers and sisters in Islam, this man that got up, he is just like you and me. He is just like you and me. Yet he was a companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was blessed with being a companion of Rasulullah. Yet for his sins, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had informed him that his place on the Day of Judgment will be the fire. So I ask you now, and you, every one of you and myself, where will our place be on the Day of Judgment? Subhanallah, we sin by the day and we sin by the night. From the morning until today, until the top today, how many sins have we done? It is as if it's a fly on our nose and we just brush it away, brush it away. Ah, it's a fly, let it go away. Sins, subhanallah, how many sins have we earned? Where will our place be on the Day of Judgment? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says beautifully, اِقْتَرَبَ لِلنَّاسِ حِسَابُهُمْ وَهُمْ فِي غَفْلَةٍ مُعْرِضُونَ. Ah, what a beautiful verse. I wish you could understand it. So beautiful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, اِقْتَرَبَ لِلنَّاسِ حِسَابُهُمْ. The accounting of mankind has come near. The accounting is coming near. وَهُمْ فِي غَفْلَةٍ مُعْرِضُونَ. And they in their ghafla, in their playful ignorance, have turned away from this truth. Look at the people of this world. In fact, just look at yourself in the mirror. What do you see? You will see a person living this life as if his accounting is not near, even though the days pass by. And even though you might live for a long time, yet do not fool yourself. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's punishment is near. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's punishment and death is near. This is the true reality. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has called death in the Qur'an al-haq. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَاعْبُدْ رَبَّكَ حَتَّى يَأْتِيَقَ الْيَقِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, worship your Lord until the yaqeen, the truth comes to you. Now why is death being called the truth? Why is death called the truth, my brothers and sisters? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about death that it is the truth because of the fact that we already know that tomorrow will be our death. However, whether we will live tomorrow, then that is something we do not know. We know that tomorrow we will die, yet whether we will live, then that is something we have doubt about. Subhanallah, this is the reason why Allah has called it the truth. Something we are already sure about. See what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. He says, Ya ayyuhan nas. And he's talking about everybody. He says, Ya ayyuhan nas. Ittaqu rabbakum. Inna zalzalata as-sa'ati shay'un 'azim. Yawma tarawnaha tadhhalu kullu murdi'atin 'amma arda'at. Wa tad'u kullu dhati hamlin hamlaha. وَتَرَى النَّاسَ سُكَارًا وَمَا هُمْ بِسُكَارًا وَلَكِنَّ عَذَابَ اللَّهِ شَدِيدٌ. What does Allah say? He says, O people, be afraid of Allah. He says, O people, be afraid of Allah. إِنَّ زَلْزَلَةَ السَّاعَةِ. Verily the earthquake of the Day of Judgment, شَيْءٌ عَظِيمٌ, is a tremendous thing. يَوْمَ تَرَوْنَهَا. The day that you will see it. تَذْحَلُ كُلُّ مُرْضَعَةٍ عَمَّا أَرْضَعَتْ. Every suckling woman will leave her suckling child. وَتَضَعُ كُلُّ ذَاتِ حَمْلٍ حَمْلَهَا. And every pregnant woman will drop her load. Will drop her load from the fear and the terror of the Day of Judgment. وَتَرَى النَّاسَ سُكَارًا. And you'll see the people driven mad. Mad, rising up mad. وَمَا هُمْ بِسُكَارًا. No, but they are not mad. No, they are not drunk. وَلَكِنَّ عَذَابَ اللَّهِ شَدِيدٌ. However, the punishment of Allah is severe. The punishment of Allah is severe. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ittaqullah. Fear Allah. My question to you is, why should we fear Allah? Why should we fear Allah? Have you heard of the story of Ibn Mas'ud? Have you heard of the story of Ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, with one of his companions? Once Ibn Mas'ud, may Allah have mercy upon him, he was with some of his companions. And so one of his companions said, I did not make dua to Allah that I be from the people of the right hand. No, rather I make dua to Allah that I be from the muqarrabeen, that I be from those nearest to Allah. And Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the knowledgeable man of this ummah, the knowledgeable man of this ummah, the one who feared Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, looked at this man in a very strange way. What are you saying? He looked at him and said, what are you saying? As for you, you are making dua to Allah that you be from the most nearest to Allah. As for me, I make dua to Allah, say, oh Allah, I wish I was not even created. As for me, I make dua to Allah, oh Allah, I wish I was a tree that was cut down and eaten. Why? Why is the question, my brothers? Why does Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu make this question? Ask this particular dua. Why? The answer, my brothers and sisters, is truly because of the fear of Allah that had entered into his heart. The fear of Allah, the realization that indeed death is a tremendous experience. It is a new life, something you have never experienced. It is a new life, something you have always fooled yourself about. This is the reason why he was so afraid. And once Urwa ibn Zubayr, the cousin of Aisha radiallahu anha, she was passing by the house of Aisha radiallahu anha, and she heard Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she was standing up and praying. And Urwa mentions that I do not know whether it was the night salah, the salah of the Hajjud before Fajr, or whether it was the salah of Duha, whether it was the salah after sunrise. For I do not know which salah it was, yet I passed by her. And she was standing up in salah, and she was reciting from the Qur'an. And then when she came upon the verse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَمَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَيْنَا وَوَقَانَا عَذَابَ السَّمُومِ. And when she came upon the beautiful verse of Allah, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about his ibad, his slaves, and there are those of them who say, فَمَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَيْنَا. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed us and gave us a bounty. وَوَقَانَا عَذَابَ السَّمُومِ. And saved us from the عذاب السموم, from the terrible torment. From the terrible torment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved us. And so Urwa continues. So I saw Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha reciting this verse. And so I went away and she was crying and I left her crying. And I came back after many, many hours. And I passed by her again. And she was still reciting the same verse. فَمَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَيْنَا وَوَقَانَا عَذَابَ السَّمُومِ. Naam. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us the great bounty and saved us from the terrible torment. My brothers, have you heard of the story of Malik bin Dinar? The story of Malik bin Dinar, he used to stay up all night imploring to Allah, grabbing his beard and saying, Ya Allah, indeed you know who will go to the hellfire, and you know, O Allah, who will go to paradise. O Allah, I implore you, which of these groups am I in? O Allah, I ask you, which of these groups am I in? Subhanallah, Malik bin Dinar, one of the greatest scholars of this ummah, making dua to Allah, imploring Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which of these groups, O Allah, which of these groups, the group that will go to hellfire, or the group that will go to paradise, am I in, O Allah? And do you know Imam Bukhari, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu? Do you know the story of Imam Bukhari? Imam Bukhari, as you know, before writing every single hadith, he would make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and make two rak'ah istikhara. Well, once, when he was writing down the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the hadith, the beautiful hadith, wherein it states that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after every creation had made the intercession, and after the prophets had made the intercession, and the angels had made the intercession, and the people who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have allowed to make intercession had made the intercession, then nothing will be left except the intercession of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take a handful of people out from the people of hellfire. And these are the utqa of Allah, the ones who have been saved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Imam Bukhari radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when he was writing down this hadith, he would raise up his hands to Allah and say, oh Allah, make me from them. Say, oh Allah, I know my deeds are not enough to save me from the hellfire. Oh Allah, make me. Oh Allah, please make me from them. And you know, Umar Do you know Umar? Do you know the story of Umar? He said, may Allah have mercy upon him. He said that if a person from the heavens looked down upon the people of this earth and said, every one of you is saved except one person. And he said, every one of you is saved except one person. I would be afraid that I am that person. He said, I would be afraid that I am that person. Compare yourself to this. Compare yourself to this. Ask yourself, where are you from these people? Ask yourself, where is the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your heart? Where is the realization that death is coming to you? And this is of a surety. This is of a surety, certainty. Death will come to you. Death will come to you. Al-Hasan al-Basri, may Allah have mercy upon him. He once said, I heard once that a man will be saved from the fire of hell. I heard once, he said, that a man will be saved from the fire of hell after 1,000 years. And I have asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for 50 years of my life, for 50 years of my life to be that man. He said, I have asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be of that man. My brothers, I remind you of the verse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran. And he says, وَإِن مِنْكُمْ إِلَّا وَارِدُهَا. And verily there are some of you who are heading for it, who are facing it and heading for it. Not paradise, but hell. My brothers, as long as life seems to you, as long as it seems that the days are coming past, and the year follows the year, and the month follows the month, and the day follows the day, and yet nothing has changed in our life, be assured that death is near. Be assured that you cannot escape death. You cannot escape this death that is coming to you. You are going towards it and it is coming towards you. Whereas the dunya is going away from you. This is why the pious predecessors used to say, Ya Ibn Adam, O son of Adam, verily you are ayyam. Verily you, O son of Adam, are just days, just days. So if some of you has gone, if some days have passed, then some of you has already finished. Meaning you're already headed for that grave, ya akhi. You're already headed for that grave. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, قُلْ إِنَّ الْمَوْتَ الَّذِي تَفِرُّونَ مِنْهُ فَإِنَّهُ مُلَاقِيكُمْ. Allah says in the Quran, Say, إِنَّ الْمَوْتَ الَّذِي تَفِرُّونَ مِنْهُ. Verily, the death that you are running away from, that you're running away from, how are we running away from it? Because we are not remembering it. We are running away from it, my brothers. We are being fooled by this dunya and running away from the reality, from the true thing, which is death. قُلْ إِنَّ الْمَوْتَ الَّذِي تَفِرُّونَ مِنْهُ. Say, verily, the death that you're running away from, فَإِنَّهُ مُلَاقِيكُمْ. That it will reach up to you. It will reach up to you. It will find you. Do you think that just because you are in England, that death will not come to you? Do you think that just because you are protected in a protected castle, high up, protected in a high, big, fortified castle, that death will not come to you? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَيْنَمَا تَكُونُ. He says, wherever you are, يُدْرِكْكُمُ الْمَوْتِ. وَلَوْ كُنْتُمْ فِي بُرُجٍ مُشَيَّدًا. نعم. Wherever you are, death will reach up to you. Death will come to you. وَلَوْ كُنْتُمْ. And even if you were, where? فِي بُرُجٍ مُشَيَّدًا. In a fortified, high up castle. If you are locked up, my brothers and sisters, in a fortified castle, then be of assured. Be assured that death will reach up to you. Imagine, my brothers and sisters, that you are on your deathbed. Many, many years away from now. Many years. Perhaps 10, perhaps 20, perhaps tonight. Perhaps when you go to bed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. But be assured that it will find you wherever you are. And whenever your time has been appointed, it will find you. Think about that time, that last moment, when you're lying on your deathbed. And your life passes in front of your eyes as if it was a dream, as if it was a dream, and just passes in front of your eyes. From your childhood until your old age, just passes in front of your eyes like a dream forgotten. Or like a wind in the breeze, like a small wind that just hits you and then goes away and hits someone else. Imagine that time when you're lying on your bed and all your beloved people are around you. Imagine the time when you're lying on your bed and you're holding your father's hand in your hand and your mother's hand in your hand and your wife's hand in your hand and your daughter's hand in your hand and your son's hand in your hand and all your beloved people are around you and all your friends are around you. And then suddenly, in a moment of time, you leave this world and you go to the next life. Suddenly, it is as if you have lost your eyesight from this world and a new eyesight, or you have just been given new eyes. Suddenly you see the angel of death, and what a creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What a terrific creation of Allah. What a frightening creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, calling your soul to come out. As Allah says, فَلَوْلَا إِذَا بَلَغَتِ الْحُلْقُومِ وَأَنْتُمْ حِينَ إِذٍ تَنْظُرُونَ وَنَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْكُمْ وَلَكِنْ لَا تُبْصِرُونَ فَلَوْلَا إِنْ كُنْتُمْ غَيْرَ مَدِينِينَ تَرْجِعُونَهَا إِنْ كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ تَرْجِعُونَهَا إِنْ كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ Allah says, فَلَوْلَا إِذَا بَلَغَتِ الْحُلْقُومِ And at that time, when the soul has reached the throat, it is leaving the body, yes, it is leaving the body, and the soul has reached the throat. وَأَنْتُمْ حِينَ إِذٍ تَنْظُرُونَ And with whatever eyesight is left, my brothers and sisters, you are looking. You are looking as your soul passes in front of you, as your life goes away. وَأَنْتُمْ حِينَ إِذٍ تَنْظُرُونَ And you are looking on. وَنَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْكُمْ And we are closer to it than you. وَلَكِنْ لَا تُبْصِرُونَ And you do not see this. فَلَوْلَا إِن كُنْتُمْ غَيْرَ مَدِينِينَ تَرْجِعُونَهَا إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ Then indeed, if you are not obliged to follow this religion, then indeed, if you are not obliged to listen to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to listen to the Prophet that came to you, تَرْجِعُونَهَا Return it back. إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ If you are indeed truthful, see if you can return it back. لا والله we can't. لا والله والله ثم والله we can't. We can't return our soul back. So remember that time when our soul would have reached the throat. Remember the time when our soul would have reached the throat. And we are looking upon. And then our life just passes in front of us like a dream or like a breeze forgotten. And we are looking on. And then we remember the greatest truth. Ah, subhanallah, this is the greatest life. This is the life, the true life that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had promised us. The true life Allah had promised us. So how will your situation be? How will your situation be? If you were from those who are zalimun, if you were from those who used to wrong yourself, those who used to sin, those who did not used to follow Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's command, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَوْ تَرَىٰ إِذِ الظَّالِمُونَ فِي غَمَرَاتِ الْمَوْتِ وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ بَاسِطُوا أَيْدِيهِمْ أَخْرِجُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ الْيَوْمَ تُجْزَوْنَ عَذَابَ الْهُونِ بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَقُولُونَ عَلَى اللَّهِ غَيْرَ الْحَقِّ وَبِمَا كُنْتُمْ عَنْ آيَاتِهِ تَسْتَكْبِرُونَ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says what? وَلَوْ تَرَىٰ Oh, if you were only able to see. Allah says, oh, if you were only able to see. وَلَوْ تَرَىٰ إِذِ الظَّالِمُونَ فِي غَمَرَاتِ الْمَوْتِ When those people who have wronged themselves are in the horror of death, are in the throngs of death. Naam, have you seen the death person dying? Have you seen a chicken when his head is cut off? What does he do? Like this, the throngs of death. Naam, throngs. The terrible terror of death. The throngs of death. وَلَوْ تَرَىٰ إِذِ الظَّالِمُونَ Allah says, if you're only able to see the zalimeen in the terror of death, وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ بَاسِطُوا أَيْدِيهِمْ And the angels have put forward their hands. أَخْرِجُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ Take your souls out. Come out, come out. Come out, they're calling. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that they have put their hands forward and calling the souls out, come out, come out. أَلْيَوْمَ تُجِزَوْنَ عَذَابَ الْهُونَ And straight away the angels don't waste their time, no. They inform the zalim, they inform him that today you will be given, you will be punished. The terrible punishment, عَذَابَ الْهُونَ The terrible punishment. بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَقُولُونَ عَلَى اللَّهِ غَيْرُ الْحَقِّ Because what you used to say about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala other than the truth. وَكُنْتُمْ عَنْ آيَاتِهِ تَسْتَكْبِرُونَ And he used to be stubborn, arrogant against the ayah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when the soul has transferred to the angels, then it is not a simple matter, my brothers. It is not a simple matter. For remember the time when the angels will come to you in the grave. Remember the time when the angels will come to you in the grave. Every single one of you and me. Every single one of you and me. When the angels will come to the grave. And they will ask you. And they'll ask you those important questions. Man Rabbuk? And will you be of those who say, ha ha. Ha ha. As if you're laughing. No, you're not laughing. Rather this is the cry. Knowing that what is awaiting you. The cry. Of someone who knows what awaits him. Ha ha, you will say. Ha ha. And then the angels will say, Man Rabbuk and Man Dinuk. And what is your religion? And ha ha is the answer. Ha ha. Ha ha. And then he will say what? Man Nabiyuk. Who is your prophet? Or he will say, Who is this man that used to come to you? Who is this man that used to come to you? What is your answer? Ha ha! May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say, He has lied. My servant has lied. So make his grave from the graves. Make his grave full of the fire of Jahannam. And open a door to the Jahannam. And let the punishment of Jahannam enter into him. My brother, this is not a punishment of one day or 2 days. It is not a punishment of a day or two. It is until the day of judgment. So if you were from those who used to take riba, if you were from those who used to take riba, then your grave will be made like a pond of blood. Your grave will be made like a pond of blood. Imagine this. A grave, yes, your grave, will be made like a pond of blood. And you'll be swimming in this blood. And you'll be drowning in this blood. And every single time you wanted to cross over and get out of this pond and stop yourself from drowning, then there would be an angel with a stone in his hand. And he would hit you with that stone until the stone enters into your mouth and pushes you back to the middle of the river until you continue on drowning. And this will continue all the way up until the day of judgment. And if you were from those who used to commit zina, if you were from those who used to commit zina, then your grave will be made like an oven in the earth. And you will be naked in your grave. And a huge flame of fire will come out from the bottom of your grave and burn you to bits. And if you were from those who used to recite the Quran and not act according to it, and if you were from those who did not used to pray his Fajr prayer, knowing the Fajr is obligatory on him, who did not used to wake up for Fajr, then you know what his punishment is. Do you know what the punishment is? It is that you will be laid down on the ground. Now, laid down, to lie down on the ground. Oh no, no, you won't be allowed to sleep and rest. Rather, there will be an angel with a big boulder, standing over your head, ready to drop it on your head. And then he will drop it like a huge mountain. Imagine a huge mountain about to fall on your head. And he will drop this on your head and smash your head to smithereens. And then he will raise this again. And then your head will be formed. And then he will smash it again. And this will continue all the way up until the day of judgment. up until the day of judgment. Subhanallah. And if you were from those who used to spread the namima, backbite and spread tales, used to bear tales and spread tales about your brothers, if you were from those people who used to like backbiting your brothers, then you know what the punishment is. Then you will be made to lay down on the ground. Na'am. You will be made to lay down on the ground, and an angel will take that iron rod and tear your face all the way from here up until the back. And then continue on the next side. And whilst it's continuing on the next side, then the other side has reformed. And then he will continue on from where he left off. And this will continue all the way up until the day of judgment. Subhanallah, ya akhi, ya ukhti fillah. My brothers and sisters in Islam, this is a terrible reality. This is a terrible reality. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to say, were I to not be afraid that you would not bury your dead, then I would have made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to let you hear from those things that I hear. Were I to be afraid that you all would not bury your dead, then I would have made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to let you hear from those things which I hear. What is it that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam hears? Verily it is the cries of those people, the wailing of the people being punished in the hellfire. Wailing of the people being punished in their graves. This is what he used to hear. And were we to hear this, we would be fooled into thinking that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not punish us if we did not bury our dead. So we would just leave our dead and we would not bury them. So Rasulullah said, were to not be afraid that you would not bury your dead, then I would have indeed made dua to Allah to let you hear from these things. And also Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to say, if you knew what I know. He said, if you knew what I know, then you would laugh less and cry more. If you knew what I know, O people, you would laugh less and cry more. And he also said, if you knew what I know, then you would not find pleasure in sleeping with your wives. Then you would not find pleasure in sleeping with your wives. How much pleasure do we find in sleeping with our wives? Subhanallah, death is the last thing on our minds when we sleep with our wives. Last thing on our mind. Yet if we knew what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam knows from the terrible torment that awaits a person, from the terrible questioning that awaits every single person, then we would laugh less and cry more. Then we would laugh less and cry more. And we would not find pleasure in sleeping with our wives. My brothers and sisters in Islam, I advise you sincerely, I advise myself and advise you sincerely to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I advise you, my brothers and sisters in Islam, to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as He should be feared. Fear Him as He should be feared. For indeed, the life of a Muslim is like a bird. Indeed, my brothers and sisters, the life of a Muslim is like a bird. Have you seen the bird? The bird, when he flies, it has a body. It has a body and it has two wings. Have you seen this? Have you seen the bird? It has a body and it has two wings. And when it flies, it flaps its wings. The Muslim is like this. The Muslim is like this. This is his life. This is his life. What do I mean? I mean, look at the bird. The body is the love of Allah. And one wing is the fear of Allah. And the other wing is the hope from Allah. Na'am. The Muslim lives his life between these things. That which pushes him forward is the love of Allah, is the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, is the love for this religion. Yet at the same time, just like the bird cannot fly except by flapping his right wing, which is the fear of Allah, and the same time he cannot fly except by flipping his left wing, which is the hope from Allah, so is the believer. So whenever you have fear of Allah, have hope. Whenever you have fear of Allah, have hope. And let the thing that pushes you forward, let the thing that pushes you forward be the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So just as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared terrible torments for those who have not believed in Him, those who have disobeyed him in the grave. So to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared a great reward for us. So let us be from those who fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, at the same time have great hope from him, at the same time know what torment awaits us if we disobey him. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said in a beautiful hadith, and let this be the advice that you take away from this talk today. And let this be the advice that you take away from this talk today. One simple hadith, can you not remember this? You must remember it. The hadith is this. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in authentic hadith in Bukhari and Muslim, he said, "Kun fi dunya, be in this world." How? Ka'abir al-sabeel. Be in this world just like Abir al-sabeel. Aw gharib. Another way he said it separately. He said, "Kun fi dunya ka gharibin aw Abir al-sabeel." Be in this dunya. Be in this dunya. Either one of two individuals, my brothers. Be in this dunya, either one of two individuals. Either a stranger. Either a stranger. Be a stranger, my brothers. Be a stranger. It's a good thing. Be a stranger. Or be an abir al-sabeel. What is an abir al-sabeel? Just a traveler. Abir al-sabeel is the passerby. Passerby, the one who's traveling. When he comes to a city, he's passing by. He stops for a little while and then he goes on his way. Na'am, be in this world just like you are either a stranger or an abir al-sabeel. What do we mean by stranger? My brothers, being a stranger, like for example, you being a stranger in this dunya, is like not considering this dunya to be your real dunya. Is like considering this world to not be truly your real world. Is to consider this life, this house that you have, to not really be your true house and this true life. No, my brothers, be a stranger. That all of this is strange towards you. Why? Because the real life and the real house that you have is the house of the hereafter. The real house that you will be spending a lot of your time in, my brothers, is not the house that you have now, down the road. No, it is not. The house that you will really be spending most of your time, a lot of your time, will be that grave and the place in hereafter, wherever you will be. This is why you should be strange here. Why? Because this is something that is not really your own. This world is not really your own. So be a stranger in this world. Be a stranger in this world. Or be a traveler. And what does a traveler do? What does a traveler do, my brothers? The traveler just passes by, takes from whatever he needs from this place, and rests for a little while, and then he passes by. Just like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَعَ الْغُرُورِ. And verily this life is but a playful pastime. It's but a playful pastime. So be like that traveler, the one who passes by. Yes, he's just passing by. And he takes from this life whatever he needs. Yes, he takes from the halal of this life and he leaves the haram of his life and he only takes whatever he needs. Why? Because if he took more than what he needs, then he'll not be able to carry on his travel. So he only takes whatever he needs. And then he has a rest. You see, the traveler has a rest in this life and he prepares himself for his travel. So this is how you prepare for that travel, by your ibadah, by your good deeds, my brothers. كُنْ فِي الدُّنْيَا كَغَرِيبٍ أَوْ عَابِرُ السَّبِيلِ سُبْحَانَ لَكَ اللَّهُمَّ وَبِحَمْدِكَ أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. بسم الله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. This brother wrote a question in Arabic and he asked basically about Huda, about guidance, and is guidance something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already written for you, or is there a type of guidance, or is it هل الإنسان مخير أم مسير في أن يكون مهديا؟ أن الله سبحانه وتعالى يقول أين؟ Is Huda, is guidance in this life? Is it something that has been written for us? Is it something that already has been there is predestiny on this point, or that Allah سبحانه وتعالى has left it upon people that they be guided? Without doubt, the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had mentioned to us that there are two types of huda. There's two types of guidance, two types, and that is the guidance of a tawfiq and the guidance of al-irshad. The guidance of a tawfiq and the guidance of al-irshad. A tawfiq, which is, happens to be my name. Tawfiq means what? Means to have tawfiq from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the tawfiq from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah gives to every individual, that He guides his heart. As Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to make dua all the time, Ya muqallib al-qulub thabbit qalbi ala dinik. Oh, the turner of hearts, put my heart, establish my heart firmly upon your religion. So this is the tawfiq from Allah, from the guidance from Allah. At the same time, the huda, there is another type of huda, and that is of irshad. That is the irshad, the guidance that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given people, and that is from by way of the prophets. That is by way of the prophets and by the way of sending the books down. So these are the two types of huda that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. So is this already written by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already written our guidance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already written our guidance. Who from us will be guided? Yet we ourselves will not know what Allah has written. Can't you see what Malik ibn Dinar used to say? He used to say in his dua, say, Oh Allah, I know that you already know who is going to paradise and who is going to hellfire. We know that you know Allah. And how can Allah not know? He is so great. His ilm is complete. His knowledge is complete. It is not preceded by ignorance, and neither is it superseded by forgetfulness. Allah's ilm, knowledge is complete, encompasses every single thing. So how can Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not know where we are headed to? Where will our position be? Are we from the people of the hellfire? Are we from the guided ones? Are we from those people who have been misguided? So indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the same time as knowing, we ourselves at the same point, we do not know where our position will be. So it is upon us to do our deed. It is upon us to do our two pence of actions in order that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may enter us into His Jannah due to His mercy. Allahu ta'ala a'lam. Allahu musta'an. Subhanallah. You know, we hear a lot about people accepting Islam. Yeah. Many mosques you enter, mashallah, and the people will stand up and say, mashallah, our brother so and so accepted Islam. Yet, subhanAllah, we never hear of people being guided to the religion. Those who are already Muslims, but they came back to the religion. And look at this story. Look at this question. In my jahiliyyah, I had committed bank fraud and other interest-based debts. Now I want to repent. Do I need to pay my debts? If I do, I will get imprisonment. Could you advise me? Because I am in a dilemma. Naam. Important question. You see, some of us, we wish to repent now. After hearing about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we wish to repent. Yet our sins catch up with us, my brothers. Those things that we had done before catch up with us. And shaitan comes to you and said, you wish to repent? Remember those things that you did. Remember those things that you did. And what about this thing that you did? And that thing that you did? My brothers and sisters in Islam, don't let shaitan take the better of you. Repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Repent to Allah and don't let shaitan take the better of you. If you have done something that is between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a sin between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then hide it. And if you have done a sin that is between you and another person, like you have stolen someone's land, or you've stolen someone's money, then return it. But do it in a way that will not cause you harm. Do it in a way that will not cause you harm. Like for example, you might have backbitten someone. Is it wise for you to go and tell the brother, I backbit you? It may be wise. Yes, it might be, because the brother might be an understanding person. Might be wise to actually do that. But if the brother is someone else, someone a little bit arrogant, someone who thinks a lot big about himself, then it is not wise to go back and tell him, brother, I backbit you. Rather, make dua for him. Ask Allah to forgive you. Make dua for him and speak good about him. In the same way, if you have committed fraud and taken people's money, then my advice is to pay it back. Pay it back, but in a way in which you will not be in difficulty. In a way in which you will not be in difficulty, because this is not in your maslaha, and this is not required. It is not required that you own up. Say, brother, I go back to the mahkamah, for example, I go to the mahkamah, to the courts and say, cut my hands off, I had stolen. No, this is not required, my brothers. Rather, just pay it back. Pay it back and all that you owe him. And for example, if you had stolen a car, then you pay and you give him back the car in the same state that you had stolen it from him. And also you pay him for whatever costs that were incurred because of that. And also, for example, if you had taken the car, you would pay him for every single day that you had the car as well. But really, this question requires a more personal answer. And this is not the right place to actually talk about this. So if the brother can please come forward when I'm free, we can talk about this. You said that we will see the angel of death at the time of we will see the angel of death at the time of death. What is the proof for this? Yes, you can see the angel of death at the time of death, as many of the ulama have mentioned, and it has been reported from many of the salihin, from many of the righteous believers, and also Umar bin Abdul Aziz, as we all know, as he is known as the fifth khalifa of this religion, fifth righteous khalifa of this religion, when he was dying. Before he died, he said, "I can see a creation. I can see a creation, something that I have never seen before, and it is calling my soul, and it is calling my soul." And then he died. And this is an authentic narration from Umar bin Abdul Aziz. You can find it in Sirah Alam al-Nubala, in Al-Dhahabi Sirah Alam al-Nubala. And so the best we can say is that from these narrations of these Salihin, that they were able to see the angel of death. And also from the ayah of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَنْتُمْ حِينَ إِذٍ تَنْظُرُونَ. And you are at that time. فَلَوْلَا إِذَا بَلَغَتِ الْحُلْقُومِ. And when the soul has reached the throat. وَأَنْتُمْ حِينَ إِذٍ تَنْظُرُونَ. And you are looking. وَنَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْكُمْ وَلَكِنْ لَا تُبْصِرُونَ. And we are closer to it. Meaning who? Not we, meaning not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is closer by knowledge. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, نَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ. Meaning who? The correct interpretation of this verse is that the angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are closer to him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَنْتُمْ تَنْظُرُونَ. And you are looking. So here we have an indication that you can also see the angel of death. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. SubhanAllah, Allahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka.